Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
That's what we're about, amen? You know, I think sometimes we go through life, daily life, and just the daily routine of work and chores and just life. Sometimes it clouds our view of what God's doing. And it's good to be reminded that our God is alive and well and active on the planet. Can you say amen? Amen. And that he has a plan and a purpose. And God says, I will have my way. Yes. God's will be done. Yes. And God is moving. Yes. And I could tell you, you know, we're living in very, very interesting times. Let's put it that way. I don't know what it all means. I know this. Here's what I know for a fact. Jesus is coming back. Yes. That I know. I know he's coming back. He said he would. He said he was coming, and he was coming soon. Amen? Amen. And I'm looking forward to his soon return. In fact, in the next 10 seconds would be great. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. I've always prayed, God, just come when I'm preaching. Wham! That's it. We're all gone, and that would be wonderful. But you know what? I believe there's still work to be done. And I know this church has work we need to do. And I believe God's helping us. Can you say amen? Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Today, what we're going to do is we are going to finish up and bring this series that we've been doing to an end. And we've probably, for the lack of a better title, we came up with the title, The Way of Life. And the reason I came up with that title is because I wanted it to express what was on my heart. And what was on my heart is that the Christian life is not just a title, but it is a way of life. It's how we are to live our lives. It's what we are to do in our daily lives, whether at the job, at the store, at the gas station, with family, friends, neighbors, whatever it is, there is a lifestyle, there is a way of life that we are to live as Christians. Can you say amen? And through this series, we've looked at some fairly significant areas of our Christian walk. We've looked at the way of faith. We've looked at the way of love. We've looked at the way of service. We've looked at the way of purity. All of those are extremely important in the Christian walk. They are cornerstones, if you will. They are foundational stones to Christian living. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the way of power. And I want you to listen to this because, you know, as I was putting this message together, I really was hesitating to just put another sermon together about power, about God's powerful. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind here that God is powerful. We know that he's powerful. We know that. We understand that he is the creator of the universe. He spoke, light be, and light was. Amen. Everything that we see, God spoke into existence, except for you. You're handcrafted. That's a good thought. That's a whole nother sermon. But you know, everything else, God spoke into existence, but you, God fashioned with his hands. He took time deliberately, intentionally, and he formed you, and he made you just the way you are. And you know what? He put inside of you all of the things that you value and you cherish, your likes, your dislikes, all of those things. He put all that in you. He created you to be who you are. Amen. And you are a gift to the world. I know you came in thinking, hey, I'm a gift to mankind. Your motive was a lot different, but you are a gift to mankind because there is only one of you. Can you say amen? And we need you. We need who you are. We need your gifting, your talent, your ability. Amen. Amen. We need you. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this idea of power, and we're going to look at it from the point of view of you and I walking in that power. We need to walk in the power of God, church. We need that. The church, God, help us if we just do our Christianity without any power. What's the point? What's the point? The reality is today, the Word of God is a book that the Bible says is alive. It's powerful. It can cut to the bone. Amen. It can divide. It can discern. It can meet you right where you're at. And for us to live any other way than in other than in the power that God has given to us is living far below what God intended for us. Can you say amen? During Jesus' ministry, he taught and he demonstrated the power and authority of God. Jesus did miracles. He did signs. He did wonders. He healed everyone that came to him. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He set the captive free. We know that. He came as the Son of God who put aside his divinity and he took on humanity and he said he could do nothing without the Father. Right. What he was doing is he was showing us how to be completely dependent on the Father. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And he was showing us what we were capable of when we're in right relationship with God. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. I want you to think about that for a moment. He is showing us, Jesus is demonstrating the way of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, come on. I'm the way. Yes. Walk this way. Yes. Amen. I'm the life. He's saying, this is who I am, and I want you to be like me. Can you say amen? Amen. In John 14, 12 through 14, it says, most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a promise. Church, that's a promise we need to hang on to. Yes. Amen. Amen. And the reason it's a little bit quiet is because we're not always seeing it.
Right. Amen.
Come on.
Come on.
See, Jesus imparted all power and authority first to his disciples when he commissioned them. You remember that, don't you? In Luke chapter 10, he says, I give you all power and authority to walk on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. And then in Matthew 28, he said in the Great Commission, I give you power and authority. And then he came, and in Acts chapter 2, he gave the promise of the Holy Spirit to the church. And as a result, we now have access to the throne or to the power and the authority of God through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? So this is something, this is not just a sideline. This idea of power is not just for crazy people that want to kind of show off.
Yeah. Right.
This is not so that we can make other Christians more conservative really nervous.
Yeah.
Amen? This is how we are to walk. We are to walk in power and authority.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes.
That's right. Amen. I'm going to say it again. We are to walk in power and authority.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our text says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Listen to these words. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we ever dare to think, ask, or hope.
Yeah.
Think about that for a moment. What does that mean? What I mean, you know, so much in life, I think in the modern days, in these contemporary times, things are spoken and they're just, things are thrown out and we really don't mean it. Amen? We say things both positive and negative. When people are angry, they'll say things. They'll say, oh, I'm quitting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing, and they don't mean it. They're just angry. When people get excited, they'll say things like, oh, I'm going to give everything I got. I'm going to just sacrifice my whole life. And they don't mean it. And sometimes what happens is when we read the Word of God, we think that God's just excited in the moment and he didn't really mean it. I guarantee you, when Jesus spoke those words, when Jesus said that through Paul, he said, you know what? According to the power that is at work in you right now, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Well, I have a keen imagination. I can think big.
Yeah.
I can imagine big. And God comes along and he says, your imagination is not qualified to even consider what I am willing to do for you. When we were in the worship service, in that last song, we were standing there. Actually, I believe it was the song Katie was singing. When Katie was singing, I was just standing there. I was worshiping, and I was thinking about those little kids on the video, and I was just thinking about what God's doing in this church and just all that's going on. And I hear this voice that just kind of penetrates through all of it. He goes, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind. And if you know me, if you know who I am, you know that ain't my voice. Amen. And God says, I'm going to do something. He says, I'm going to move in your life. So what does this mean? It means by virtue of the abiding presence of God in us, we are supernatural. Amen. When you show up with your holy jeans and your goofy t-shirt, your hair is a mess, you didn't put your lipstick on, you're out weeding the garden, you at that very moment are supernatural. Read it again, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us. Think about that phrase, according to the power that works in us. The Greek word for according always describes a downward force or something that is dominating or conquering. By using this word, Paul is literally saying, we have been overwhelmed by this power that is at work in our lives. In other words, it has become a part of us. Now the problem is, church, most of us don't even think this way because we don't feel it. We don't think about being powerful because we struggle with so many things. We got this contention, that problem, this situation, that thing going on, this fight happening here, and that problem over here, and we just feel powerless. But God says, I have so overwhelmingly put my power in you that I've made it a part of your DNA. Being powerful, being supernatural. It's not something that we become. It's something that we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Speak it.
See, we live in a world filled with words, but very little power. Churches and programs and self-help groups all proclaiming they have the answer. And multitudes flock to these places with little or no change. Why? No power. No power. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And I want you to hang on to that phrase for a moment, because that phrase is important for where we live. They deny the power, and this ought not to be. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to these words, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it's living by God's power. You and I have been called to live and walk in supernatural power every day. I want you to listen to this passage, Ephesians 1:19-20. It says, I pray that you begin to understand. This is Paul, he's praying. He's saying, I want you guys to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. What is he saying? Resurrection power is what is at work inside of you. He says, I want you to understand. I want you to know it. I want you to experience this incredible, great power that is at work inside of you. And let me tell you something. This is what the world is looking for. With all of its chaos, all of its wars and rumors of wars, its conspiracy theories, and everything else that exists in the world today, what they are looking for is real, something powerful, something meaningful, something authentic. They're looking for a supernatural power that will change the unchangeable, heal the incurable, love the unlovable. We are all looking for a supernatural God with a supernatural power to take on our impossible situations. But it's more than that. It's more than just a supernatural God. It's a people that have come to understand that because he is a supernatural God, because he is a supernatural Father, now they are supernatural children. And they are supernatural people. See, there is no therapy, there is no prescription, there is no program that will fix your present problem. Only the power of God will make a lasting difference. J.B. Phillips said this. He said, the trouble with most people today is that they have not found a God big enough for their modern problems. Listen to me. God is not limited. He is eternal. He's infinite. He's almighty. And what we need today is to get a new picture of our God. And we need to get a new picture of who we are in him. Amen. We need to see that he is the God that raised the dead. He is the God that heals the sick. He is the God that delivers the captive. He is the one who walks in supernatural power. And he is the one who invests that same power into the people who believe on his name.
Amen.
Years ago, Leonard Ravenhill said this. He says, the world is not waiting for a new definition of the gospel, but a new demonstration of the power of the gospel. This is a statement that has been said over and over and over again among the influences in my life, and that's this. We owe the world an encounter with a living God who provides supernatural power.
Amen.
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 We don't have to live powerless, weak, wounded, out of control lives. We just don't. If we do, it's because we've chosen to. Amen. I know. Please understand. I get it. There are moments in my life where I am under such conflict that this is almost a fantasy to me. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm being real. And sometimes I can't make heads or tails of it. I don't know where God is at in it. I don't know what's going on. And all I can feel is the negative. And all I hear is the voice that is screaming in my head, this is not going to work. I get it. And I get that when some well-meaning preacher gets up in front of me and looks at me and goes, that is because you chose it. And I want to punch them in the face because I did not choose this. So I do understand what I'm saying. Just so you know. But I also understand that no one can violate my will. God assured me that I have choice. God assured me that if I choose to choose him, he will respond.
Amen.
God told me if I choose to reject that which is coming against me, it has to go. Why? Because God guarantees that, not me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He has said it over and over in the Word of God. All the way back in the Old Testament, he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. That's what he said. Over and over and over again, in many, many different ways, God has said, choose me. And sometimes what we have to do is literally take a step in the dark and say, God, I choose you. And even if I feel like I'm falling, I trust that at the last moment you will catch me and you will be true to your word. And as Paul said, he's saying this, I believe it is, it's in the Bible. He says this. He goes, we despaired even of life. He goes, it was so rough. It was so difficult. Things were going so bad. We thought we were going to die. But what that taught us was to trust the one who can raise the dead from, raise those from the dead to life.
Amen.
What he was saying is, God, your will is going to be done. And if they kill us, you'll just raise us up so we can keep going.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Abraham did when he offered Isaac, didn't he? He said, you know what, God, this is the promise. You have given me a son. You told me I was going to be the father of many nations, and now you're asking me to sacrifice him. You want me to put him on the fire? Well, I'll do it. I will give you the promise you gave me because I trust even if you take it away, you'll raise it up again.
Yes.
And that's what we got to do. See, the problem is what we're waiting for is we're waiting for some sort of grand display. It's not coming.
Right.
When you step out, there will be a grand display.
Yes. Yep.
When you step into it, you will see the hand of God. Right. When you push the forces of darkness back, when you stand up and go, enough is enough.
Amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
Well, they didn't get healed. I don't care. Not my problem. I am the messenger. I am the one that's to lay hands on the sick. God is the one that heals. Well, it didn't bear fruit. Not my problem. I sow seed and I water. He gives the increase. Well, it didn't it didn't come to pass. I'm not the one that guarantees his word. I simply proclaim it and I trust him. And in time and purpose, God will bring it to pass. I'm going to bring this message to a close. If Jason would come. I read an article the other day that gripped my heart. I, you know, every now and then you read something that will shake you to your core. And the only reason that this article caught my attention, it was in the Charisma magazine. It was written by a man named Eddie Hyatt. And the title of the article is what gripped me at first. It said, is there an answer to the cessationists that say the power of God has ceased? If you don't know what a cessationist is someone that believes that the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit stopped in the first century, that after the Apostle John passed away, he was the only one that died of natural causes. But when he died, they say that all of that went away. And so those kind of things, those kind of titles, they catch my attention. And it's like, okay, I'll bite. Let me read that. So I read it, and I would like to just share with you just a small portion of it, because this is what gripped my heart. He says, there has been lately a growing push to say that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit have ceased. It's called a cessation theory. This first developed in the church after the time of Constantine to explain the absence of miracles in most of the churches. With Constantine's conversion and the church becoming the official religion of the empire, the church became obsessed with her newfound wealth and political power. This in turn had a devastating effect on its spiritual condition. Many of the early church fathers complained that the character of the church was no different than that of the marketplace or the theater. The correlation between the moral corruption of the church and the absence of miracles was pointed out by the famous theologian Thomas Aquinas. When visiting Rome and being shown the church's wealth by a religious leader. That particular leader said to Aquinas, "You see, the church is no longer in an age which she must say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" But then Aquinas replied, "It is true, nor can she say to the lame man, 'Rise up and walk.'" And as I was thinking about that article and was reading that, going on and reading the rest of the article, I was just gripped. Because it's so easy, church, to get caught up in things that just don't matter. We can get caught up with this blessing and that blessing and this thing and that thing and this way of doing things and that way of doing things. And we could forget that what this is really all about as a church and as a people is a relationship. It's a connection with God that says, "You know what, God? What I need more than anything else in this life is you. More than the air that I breathe, I need you." We could get caught up in theology. We could get caught up in church decor. We could get caught up in political power. We could get caught up in, we got to rise up and make a stand. And you know what? All of those things are wonderful. But when they start taking the place of relationship, when it becomes the meaning of what we do, when it becomes about the show, then we're lost. I think what happened to the church, at least from my limited understanding, was that prior to this moment of Constantine's conversion, historically speaking, before the church became popular, it was desperate. The church was desperate for God to move. It was desperate for God to do something, and so they had a single focus. And I think if there's anything that we can learn from history and begin to boil it down, I think that's what we have to do, is begin to boil it down to what really is happening. Because you have to begin to pull back the layers. Because if you're not careful, you could get caught up in the layers and say, "Oh, this is what it is. It's about not having lights and doodads." God don't care. God's not up in heaven going, "They decorated the room." He don't care. I guarantee you that is not his beef, his complaint, or his concern. Say, "Well, they all the women, they wear pants now." I guarantee you, God don't care. God's not going, "You know what, Gabriel, I just can't take it anymore. All them women running around in pants, what are they doing?" I don't think he cares. I think what God has always cared about from the very beginning, when he breathed into Adam, is he just wanted to have a child that he could fellowship with. Someone that was like him. And the only one that could make someone like him was him. And he did. And he made us in his likeness, in his image. And that's what he's always wanted. You know what he wants? We look at this, when you boil even this power thing all down, we can even make it about that. And it's not about that. It's not about walking around with a magic wand, shocking everybody, making everybody say, "Wow, you're powerful." That's not what it's about. What it's about is walking with the Father in the cool of the day. In relationship, in love with God in heaven. And you know what? What happens when you do that? God goes, I'm gonna take up residence all the way in you. And you'll have a power that is beyond you. You'll be able to ask whatever you want, and I'll do it. A lot of Christians have turned that into a genie in the sky, so to speak. That's not what it's about. Think about what you want as a parent more than anything. You just want to be with your kids. Just want to fellowship. You want them to be like you. You want to be like them. When I read that, I was laying in bed and I stopped a minute and I went, God, help us that we don't get so caught up in trying to become something that we don't just live out what we are. That we just don't walk in the way that you'd have us to walk. Jesus showed us. He says, I'm the way. I'm the life. Follow me. And when you do that, everything changes. Can you say amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, God, for all that you've given us. We thank you for the revelation that you have shown us, God. We thank you that you have spoken into our hearts. And Father, we do. We call out to you, God, and we ask you to help us to walk in the way that you would have us to walk. Lord, our hearts are focused upon you today. Lord, that we would be singularly focused on a relationship with you, that we would commune with you, that we would fellowship with you. We know everything else will work itself out. All of the things that you would have us to do, your will, all the things that you want us to say and do, we will, because we're in fellowship and relationship with you. Lord, all that needs to be done will be done, because you know it needs to be done long before we do. And Father, let us not forget. Let us not forget to be radically dependent upon you. We love you today, God. We love you. I wonder, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed today, if you're here and you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I'm not right with God. Or maybe you did pray that prayer one time, but you find now that you've walked away, you've kind of disconnected from that, but you would like to reconnect. If that's you, would you lift your hand all across this place? I need Jesus. I need him. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you pray this prayer with me? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, that you would be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender to you now. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or 101st time, I'm so glad, so overjoyed that you said that prayer. Let us know here in a minute. In fact, right now, while we're still all seated, could the prayer team, those that pray, would you come up front, right up here, right now? The ministry team, would you come? And if you prayed that prayer, come up and let one of these know. Come up and say, hey, I'm here. I just gave my life to Jesus. Let them pray with you again. If you have any other need, come up, let them pray with you. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We're going to release you today. Man, I love you guys. I love this church. Let's go out and let's fellowship with Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.